It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, today on It's a Good Life, we're going to continue our study on a bird's eye view. And this, once again, of course, is a study in the New Testament. And today we're looking at study number 19, the book of Hebrews. And let me remind you that you can hear these messages again, these lessons again, and you can go to one of our websites, and those addresses to those websites will be given at the end of this program. Well, let me remind you right now that in no way will we be able to cover the entire book of Hebrews in this short period of time, just as I have not been able to cover everything in this study of the New Testament. You see, my goal here is to give us a bird's eye view, to help us to think our way through the New Testament, hitting some high points. And that's what I'd like for us to do today in the book of Hebrews. I would encourage you, if you're in a place where you can get your Bible and something to write with and write on, that you would write down as you study the book, as we study together the bird's eye view, this overview of the book of Hebrews. Well, in the book of Hebrews, first of all, I see that the author of the book is not said in the book itself who the author is. Well, we know who the author is. The author, of course, is God. And what we don't see there is that person named who penned down these words. We don't see the author's name, but however, to me anyway, and to many Bible historians, Paul the Apostle was the author. Now, some people do not agree with that. Well, I believe he was. But let us not forget that whoever penned the words of the book of Hebrews, I believe foremost in not naming a human author, we once again are drawn to the inescapable conclusion, as with all other books of the Bible, God is the true author of the book Hebrews. Now, once again, God used a human to pen down the words, but God is the author. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that means the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God the Father. Well, the date was probably around AD 70, and since the Jewish Christians written to herein were seeking to go back to a form of Judaism, which would have existed before the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. There is no mention of Jerusalem's fall in the book, so I believe that it was before AD 70. Now, the setting is this. At this time, there was a great patriotic and nationalistic call back to Judaism. Since this call was to Christians with Jewish lineage, these people would be feeling that they would feel that call. In other words, they would feel a drawing to come back into Judaism. All of the terms used in Hebrews were ones that Jews would understand, and this is the way we need to understand the epistle. Written to Jews, trying to get Christians to come back into Judaism. Well, there are several key verses found in this book, and I believe one of those is Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, where it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 goes on to say, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Well, how can we approach the throne? It's through Jesus Christ, because we have trusted Him as our Savior. He is our great high priest, and He's now seated at the right hand of our Father, which is in heaven. He's there to make intercession for us. Well, what about the purpose of the book of Hebrews? Many Jewish Christians were considering going back to Judaism and leaving Christ. And the writer wants them to consider what they are leaving and what they are going back to. Now, going back to does not mean they lost their salvation. It means they've turned their thinking around and they are starting to fall back. Now, there's a problem here of falling back into legalism. No matter what hardships are involved, the writer of the book of Hebrews shows that Jesus is better in all aspects and all respects to anything Judaism had to offer. He does this, the author does this, the penman does this by showing the following things. First, Christ is divine. That is, He is God and He is superior to angels, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Christ is human, and He understands what we're going through. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 18 talks about that. Christ is superior to Moses and Joshua. Hebrews chapter 3 through chapter 4 and verse 13 talks about that. Well, Christ is a compassionate priest and is of a better order of priest than those found. In other words, that we understand of human. As we look back in the Old Testament, those people who were the humanistic people, we might say, that God used in the Old Testament, these were the people that our high priest was better than. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 through chapter 7 and verse 28 talks about that. Christ is also a mediator of a better covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Christ has a superior temple ministry, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 28. And Christ is the superior sacrifice, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 39. Well, what does this mean? This means that Christ is superior to all. Not only is He superior, He is the best choice to put our faith in. Through our faith in Jesus, we should continue to persevere, according to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Well, Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 2 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," those great cloud of witnesses were those people we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. And the writer goes on to say, "Let us lay aside every weight." Why? Because of these witnesses we've seen. We've heard what they've done and what they said. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." The writer of this book is trying to let those Jews know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that the best way to live is by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what about some application lessons here? First, I see Hebrews was intended to build faith in Jesus. And we see that, and therefore use the book to teach believers. This is to us today as well. Not only was it written back then for the Jewish people and the Christians, but it's written to us today. Use the book to teach believers is what we're seeing, and secondly, use the book to help Christians who are weak in the faith. Well, then we see that God chose how He wanted to speak to us today, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It was not through angels, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. It was not through prophets today, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It was not through men, even though some claim to be the mouth of God. And we see that today, that people are claiming they are getting a direct revelation, and in other words, hearing from God. And I would remind you, the only way that we get word from God today is through the Word of God. He speaks to us through that still small voice that comes through the Word of God. It's not through men who claim to be the mouth of God speaking for God. You might be thinking, "I'm talking of preachers who stand and preach from the pulpit." I'm not. I'm speaking of those individuals who do not go by the Bible, those people who stand and say that they are the mouthpiece of God and do not open the Scriptures. They do not base what they're saying upon the Word of God. They try to get people to believe that they are a prophet in the sense that they're getting directly from God without opening the Scriptures. They're getting something from God. They're getting directly from God what God wants us to know. And that's wrong. It's only through Jesus Christ, His Son, that we have access to the Father, and it's only through Him that we understand what God expects of us and has for us. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And how is that? That's through the Word of God. And he goes on to say here, whom He hath appointed, that's Jesus, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, some people say today that no one understands the problem that I'm going through. But what does the Hebrew writer say? He says that Christ is able to help those who are tempted. He says that Christ has been tempted in every way like us. He says that Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Therefore, Jesus does understand our problems, and He is able to help us overcome those problems by His power. God has planned a rest for His people, and I see that in Hebrews chapter 3 through chapter 5. God rested on the seventh day of creation, according to Genesis. The Israelites rested on the Sabbath day, according to Exodus 20. As faith grows, there is a rest that takes place in the life of the Christian, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. It says, There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Doesn't mean he's lost his salvation. That means he's given up. I mean, in this life, he needs to get things right with God. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 1:17 says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, The just shall live by faith. It's by faith. That's the rest. We grow and mature in Christ. We come to a place in our lives where we can rest in the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rest because He has given us eternal life, and no man is able to pluck us out of the hand of Jesus, who's in the hand of the Father. No one is able to take the eternal life from us, and that includes us, ourselves. We cannot take ourselves out of the hand of Jesus. He has given us eternal life. He died once on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood that you and I could go to heaven, that you and I could be saved. And if you've never trusted Him, you need to do that even today. Turn your life over to Him. Let Him take your life and make something of it. Let's pray. Father, take this that we've looked at today and apply it to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live for You. And I pray for that soul nearest hell today that's listening, that You would save that person. Speak to the heart. Help them to understand that he or she needs to be saved right now. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.